Well, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Is this your first time or one of your first times? We appreciate you coming. I know sometimes it's hard to walk into a new place. If this is your first time or one of your first times, it isn't always this crowded. We usually have two services. We come together on 4th of July weekend, so it won't be the scramble it is, but we appreciate you coming in. I know sometimes, like I said, it's hard to walk into a new place, maybe even a little bit more challenging today, but thanks for joining us. And also, if you're joining us online, we appreciate you being with us also. So when I was in high school, I worked at a swim pool, a club, and it was year-round. This was in Houston. And I worked with a guy named John. John was always in trouble. John was suspended twice when we were seniors, so he would have full days of work at the club. He was rebellious. This was the day when they had smoking sections for the high school students, so he was part of that. He was as a sign of his rebellion, he was a chain smoker by the time he was a junior. His grades were pretty low. So you can bet I was surprised our senior year, in a class of 660, they announced that there were five national merit finalists. And they went down the name, this person, okay, that checks, this person, name checks, that name, that checks. And then they mentioned John's name. John, are you serious? John, who's been suspended twice. John, who's been rebellious. I remember I was in French class that day. My French class went out, teacher went out into the hall. The other French teacher came, and I heard the other French teacher say, he's getting a D in my class. You think national merit semifinalist, not that guy. You're supposed to be the 0.5% or 1%, not that guy. But do you know, when God comes to choosing people through whom he'll work, a lot of times you get that same thing. Not that guy. Not, seriously, her? My question I want us to think about is, what's so shocking, what's so surprising about God's choice in his servants? That's what we want to talk about today. So if you've got a Bible, I'd ask you to open it to Judges chapters 14 and 15. And we're going to go through these two chapters wrestling with this question. What's so surprising about God's choice in his servants? Now, if you haven't been with us, we've been going through the book of Judges the last number of weeks. And this is not just a historical study for us. We want to be people who break the cycle. Because what we've seen over and over and over again in this book of Judges is a cycle. God's people, Israel, fall in love with another god. They stop worshiping the Lord and they worship some other god. That decision has consequences. They suffer because of it. They cry out. God, in his grace and mercy, raises up a judge or a deliverer, and as long as that judge is alive, they're good. But as soon as that judge or deliverer dies, they wander back. We're people like that. We don't fall down and worship idols or statues, but we may worship popularity. We may worship money. We may worship comfort. We may worship things. And we get off, we gain God's favor, and then we turn over here, and we start living the cycle. And we want to be people who break the cycle. We ultimately, the answer to breaking the cycle is Jesus. When we see Jesus for who he is, we realize he can give life that this world can't give. That all the money, all the popularity, all the, you name it. So Israel's in the midst of another one of their cycles. They have been suffering under the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. Last week we read about God raising up a deliverer. His name is Samson. When he was conceived in the womb, God said, I want him set apart as a vow, and he is going to be the one through whom I begin the process of delivering my people from the hand of the Philistines. So last week, Samson was born. It said the spirit, even as a young boy, began to stir in him, and that's where we are. We're going to jump ahead in Samson's life until he's an adult. So we pick it up in chapter 14, verse 1. It says this. Then Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. So he came back and told his father and mother, I saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife. Then his father and his mother said to him, "Is there no woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all our people that you go and take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?" But Samson said to his father, "Go get her for me." "Why?" "She looks good to me." Now, his parents are taking issue not because of a racial difference, okay? This isn't an ethnic difference. This is a difference of spiritual foundation. They're worshiping different gods. The Philistines worship a plethora of gods. They're polytheists. They got a god for this and a god for that and a god for this. And the people of Israel say, no, there's one God. And he's God over all. That principle holds. As I counsel people, the scriptures are clear. If you're a follower of Jesus, you need to marry somebody who's following Jesus. You need to marry someone, date someone, since you date, you marry the person you date, who makes Jesus the priority he is for you. But what's Samson's grit in picking a spouse? She looks good, man. I get it. You want to marry somebody attractive. I get that. I'm not counseling against that. I'm just asking not to make physical appearance your first screen. Because you live long enough, you're going to find out it's about character. I got to live with this person. And he may be handsome, she may be beautiful, but if the character, the godly character is not there, it's going to make marriage a challenge. Verse 4, however, his father and mother did not know it was of the Lord, for he was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. Now at the time, the Philistines were ruling over Israel. So we got this Samson born, taking a Nazarite vow, which means he's committed to the Lord, but not fully following God, not at least in his marriage, his dating life. And verse 4 says, God's still in it. It's not God's choice that Samson would live this way, but he's going to work through Samson, in spite of Samson's choices, to bring about judgment on the Philistines. Because as we will see, there are ruthless people. There are wicked people. And sometimes God says those actions deserve judgment. Let me see if I can illustrate it for you this way. Anybody use Google Maps? Anybody use Google Maps? Do Google Maps? Anybody do that? Okay, so you're going along, and it says, turn right here, okay? But you keep going straight. What does Google Maps do? They reroute you, don't they? You didn't pay attention, we're going to go another. We're going to get you to your destination. Okay, Samson was told to turn right, and he's going straight. But God's plan was always, Samson, you will be an instrument of judgment on the people of Philistines. So, your choices aside, I'm going to still make that happen. Even though there's a part of you that's very rebellious to me, I'm going to still work through you. Does God approve of Samson's choices? Absolutely not. Do Samson's choices thwart God? No, they don't. So that's where we are. Verses 5 and 6, then Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother, came as far as the vineyards of Timnah, and behold, a young lion came roaring toward him. Now that should scare most people, but verse 6 says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, so that he tore him as one tears a young goat, though he had nothing in his hands, but did not tell his father or mother what he had done. Verse 7, so he, Samson, went down and talked to the woman, and she looked what? She looked good. Looked good, I want to marry her. Verse 8, when he returned later to take her, he turned aside to look at the carcass of the lion, and behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the body of the lion. So he scraped the honey into his hands and went on, eating as he went. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they ate it, but he did not tell them that he had scraped the honey out of the body of the lion. It's a dead carcass. Jewish law said you're not supposed to touch this. So he should be going through a ritual to be cleansed. But Samson ain't paying attention to God and his law. He's doing what he wants, right? He saw some honey, took it, gave it to his parents. Verse 10, then his father went down to the woman, and Samson made a feast there for the young man. Customarily did this. When they saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with him. So the wedding's going forward. Got 30 companions. That's a big, it's a big wedding party, people. It's a big wedding party. I don't know if we could fit 30 in here. 30 companions. Why does that matter? Here's why it matters. Verses 12 to 14. Then Samson said to them, let me know, now propound a riddle to you. If you will indeed tell it to me within 7 days of the feast and find out, then I will give you 30 wraps and 30 changes of clothes. But if you're unable to tell me, then you shall give me 30 linen wraps and 30 changes of clothes. And they said to him, propound your riddle that we may hear it. So, okay, so what we got is we got a bet. Got a bet here going on. There's 30 of you. I'm going to give you a riddle. If you can solve it, I owe you 30 sets of clothes. You can't solve it, you owe me 30 sets of clothes. You got the context here? We got a wedding, but Samson wants to spice it up with a bet. So Samson gives the riddle. So he said to them, out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. Obviously, he's referring to the lion and the bees that had formed the honey in there. That's what they got to solve. They got 3 days. They don't solve it, they got to come up with 30 sets of clothes for Samson. They solve it, Samson's got to come up with 30 sets of clothes for them. So it says this, then it came about on the fourth day when they said to Samson, entice your husband so that he will tell us the riddle, or we will burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us to impoverish us? Is this not so? You understand? They're leaning on this wife to get the answer to the riddle because they don't want to have to pay 30 sets of clothes. And they say, if you don't, we're going to burn you and your father out of their house. Most of us, houses are a pretty big part of our net worth, right? And there was no homeowner's insurance back then. God is judging the Philistines because they're a brutal people. We're going to see this. You cross me, I'll burn your house down. And I'll burn your mama's house down. That's where we are. So this woman's caught in a trap. Samson's wife wept before him and said, you only hate me and you do not love me. You have propounded a riddle to the sons of my people and have not told it to me. And he said to her, behold, I've not told it to my father or mother. So, should I tell you? This is manipulation, people. If you wonder how far manipulation goes back in relationships, it goes back at least this far. However, she wept before him 7 days while their feast lasted. On the seventh day, he told her because she pressed him so hard. Then she told the riddle to the sons of her people. Remember earlier I talked about be careful about mixed marriage? One believes God, one doesn't. Oh, is it that big a deal? Well, here's where it's a big deal. Her loyalties are divided. Her loyalty ought to be to her husband. But we got two different people with two sets of gods, right? So what does she do? She sells out her husband for the people and the gods of her people. That's why people who are single, young people who are considering dating, I would beg you make Christian character your first screen. Divided heart, divided loyalty. She sells Samson out. So, verse 18, the men of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? They solved the riddle. Samson's got to come up with 30 sets of clothes. And he said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, if you had not shaken down my wife, you would not have found out my riddle. Verse 19, then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of them and took their spoil and gave the changes of clothes to those who told the riddle. And his anger burned, and he went up to his father's house. Does God necessarily approve of Samson's actions? No, but he's going to work through Samson to bring about judgment on these people who are willing to burn someone out of house and home just because they don't get the answer they want from them. And by the way, we'll see them follow through on that in just a few verses. Verse 20, Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his friend. I won't read chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, but Samson finds out, and he's upset. His wife's been given away. Because remember, it's a different people, different God. And the father of his bride says, hey, she's got a younger sister, man. She looks really good. Samson said, I ain't interested. Let me jump to verse 3. Then Samson said to them, this time I shall be blameless in regard to the Philistines when I do harm to them. Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took torches and turned the foxes tail to tail and put one torch in the middle between two tails. And when he had set fire to the torches, he released the foxes into the standing grain of the Philistines, thus burning up both the shocks and the standing grain along with the vineyards and groves. So Samson thinks, I'm going to catch these foxes, I got 300, I'm going to tie a torch between them, I'm going to send them in the grain, and I'm going to be blameless in this whole thing. Samson, friend, you're delusional. When you burn up somebody's crop, some of you guys farm, you're going to figure it out. You're going to want revenge. That's what Samson's got going. But man, he's mad because his wife's been given away. I'll burn your crops. Then the Philistines said, who did this? And they said, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he took his wife and gave her to his companion. Catch this. So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. Not her house, burned her and her father with fire. It's a ruthless people. We lost because of your ex-husband, got taken away from her. So we'll make him pay by burning you to death. That's the kind of people the Philistines are. God said, I can't have that. I'm going to judge that. Verse 7, Samson said, you act like this, I will surely take revenge on you, but after that I will quit. He struck them ruthlessly with a great slaughter, and he went down and lived in the cleft on the rock of Edom. Verse 9, then the Philistines went up and camped in Judah and spread out in Lehi. The men of Judah said, why have you camped, come up against us? They said, we've come up to bind Samson in order to do to him as he did to us. So they're going to take revenge on Samson. Verse 11, then the 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Edom and said to Samson, do you know that the Philistine rulers over us? What then is that you have done to them? And he said to them, as they did to me, so I've done to them. So verse 12, he said, we have come down to bind you so that we may give you into the hands of the Philistines. Samson said, fair enough. Swear to me that you will not kill me. Verse 13, so they said, no, but we will bind you fast and give you into their hands, yet surely we will not kill you. Then they bound him with two ropes and brought him from the rock. Okay, so you got that? The Philistines are ticked off. They show up. They're going to make war on Judah. And the men of Judah sell Samson out. They go find him. And they say, man, these guys are really threatening. Will you just give yourself over? Samson said, don't kill me, and we got a deal. So they bind him with cords, and they turn him over to the Philistines. The Philistines think, we got him. He's bound. Okay, if you've been following this story so far, he's killed a lion. He's caught 300 foxes. He's taken out other people. How do you think that's going to work out for the Philistines? You got Samson bound. How do you think that's going to fly for him? Think that's going to work? Let's find out. Verse 14. When they came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted as they met him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him mightily so that the ropes that were on his arms were as flax. Then it burned with fire and the bonds dropped from his hands. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, so he reached out and took it and killed 1,000 men with it. Verse 16 and 17 gives Samson's thoughts about the thing. Verse 18 says this, then he became very thirsty and he called to the Lord and said, you have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant. Now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised. But God split the hollow place that is in Lehi so that water came out of it. When he drank, his strength returned and he revived. Then he named it Iachor, which is in Lehi to this day. Now let's step back a minute. God needs a servant. Okay, to release his people from 40 years of oppression, to bring judgment on a people who are so ruthless that they would burn people alive just because they got crossed in a marriage situation or somebody got a feel. Who would you pick? Would you choose Samson? See, I think the big idea, the thing that's being driven home here is why this guy? Surely, God, you can do better than a guy who just disregards everything you have to say about marriage, disregards everything you have to say about cleanliness, doesn't listen to counsel, doesn't listen to his parents, and you're going to work through this guy? Seriously. See, we started asking this question. What's so surprising about God's choice in his servants? Here we go. Sometimes God works through unexpected people in unexpected ways. Would you say that's true in this passage? Sometimes God works through unexpected people in unexpected ways. And you say, well, Andy, what does that have to do with me? Here's what I think it has to do with me and you. All of us got stuff in our background we think, God worked through me? Obviously, you weren't in my home. Obviously, you didn't see what I did back then. Obviously, you didn't see what I did this week at work. You didn't see what I did. You didn't see. You're right, I didn't see that, but God did. And you know what he says? I still want to work through you. Me? Yeah, you. That's the take home of Samson. God's not approving of some of the stuff Samson did, the decisions he made. But God still is choosing to work through him. You know what? God still wants to work through you too. Andy, in spite of that? Yeah, in spite of that. Listen, my wife and my younger son are here. If I brought them up on stage, they could tell you stuff that would be embarrassing. And this isn't false humility, people. You think, who picked you as pastor? See, I'm a testimony that God works in unexpected ways through unexpected people. What do you got in your background you think, no, God can't use me? Respectfully, I want to say you're wrong, okay? If God can work through Samson, he can work through you. Listen, we won't turn there today, but Hebrews 11, it's in the New Testament, is a book called the Spiritual Hall of Fame. It's people who showed exemplary faith. You know whose name is mentioned in there? Samson is. Isn't that nutty? Seriously, this guy is in the Hall of Fame of faith? Yeah, he is. Well, how can this be? Here's what Jeremiah 3:12 says. Go and proclaim these, speaking to Jeremiah the prophet, these words toward the north and the south. He says, return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will not look upon you in anger, for I am gracious, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever. Listen, the stuff you got going on, that was forgiven 2,000 years ago at the cross. That's why Jesus came to die. He lived the life you and I are supposed to live, in perfect submission to the Father. In a heated moment with the religious leaders, they were going back and forth. Jesus said this to his opponent, which one of you finds any sin among me? The answer was silent. He had no penalty to pay, but he died for you and for me. That's why we can make this talk about God's forgiveness. And that's why we could say, whatever you got in your background, God can still use you, just like he used Samson. If you never trusted Christ, I want to invite you to do that right now. If you'll do that, he'll forgive your sin. He'll restore your heart, your relationship with God, and catch this. He'll even work through you for his purpose. Unexpected people in unexpected ways. Now, let me say this about Samson. He was God's deliverer. But can we say he was an imperfect deliverer? Yeah, I think so. See, every failed deliverer, every failed king, is a longing for the perfect king. And that perfect king's name is Jesus. We put our help in any other person, any other individual for deliverance. We're mistaken. There's one who's the perfect king, who's the perfect leader. His name is Jesus. Verse 20, final thought on this passage. It says this about Samson. So he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. Samson's still judging Israel, but the Philistines are still in control. Remember, God said he was going to begin the process of deliverance through Samson. This process will be completed under a king named David. Those of you who know the story of David and Goliath, Goliath was a Philistine. And this ultimately points to the great deliverer, Jesus, who not only brings us external freedom, but he brings us internal freedom. We don't have to serve these other gods. We don't have to be enslaved to money. We don't have to be enslaved to popularity. We don't have to be enslaved to comfort. Because we understand life is complete and full in Christ. A couple weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, National Basketball Association had their draft, and the teams pick the players coming out of college and coming out of different places, and then the draft is done. And for the next 2 or 3 weeks, the talking heads evaluate the draft. And they'll say, this pick was a bad choice because his assist-to-turnover ratio wasn't good. Or this guy was a bad choice because his release point on his shot won't work in the NBA. And they go right down the list. This was a good draft pick. That was a bad draft pick. This was a good one. That was a bad one. Do you know God doesn't do any of that? When he comes to picking his servants, who he's going to work through, he doesn't go, and he got this, he got that. God, because he's not hindered by any of that. Whatever your turnover to assist ratio is, God can work through you. Whatever your release point on your shot, God can work through you. Whatever your failures, whatever your past embarrassments, whatever your limitations are, God's a big God, man. He can work through you. What's so surprising about God's choice in his servants? Sometimes God works through unexpected people in unexpected ways. Aren't we grateful for that? Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful for that. Samson shows us, man, God's not looking for the perfect person, because Samson sure fell short. But God says, I can reroute. Google Maps reroutes. God says, I can reroute. I can work through those flaws. I can work through those people in spite of all the baggage, all the stuff, all the weaknesses, all the liabilities. Thank you, God, that you're that big. That you've forgiven our sin, and not only that, you've chosen to make your way known through your servants. We thank you for Jesus, who makes all this possible. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.